Hold on to your butts, everyone. It's Big News Wednesday. And it's sort of especially as Big News Wednesday because, of course, last night we had a big primary day that we will sort of a little bit be talking about. We're not going to reiterate everything that happened last night because I talked about it for almost 4 hours straight last night. But it'll invest itself a little bit in the news. Anyway, I'm Johnny DeRola, J.R. Jackson, fresh off of off of the watch list. How's it going, man?
It's pretty good. I feel invigorated. Yesterday, I didn't let people know this. Yesterday on the watch list, I was low energy. Call me Jeb Bush. I couldn't figure it out. It was really, really weird. And I was like, have I hit a wall? Is this like the end?
Yeah.
I mean, it still could be, but today
I feel it probably is, honestly. I had that on Monday. I was kind of like a little bit stressed out about the election coverage we were going to be doing. And I was just in a really bad mood. And apparently when I'm in a bad mood, I'm lower energy, but also I just have a harder time organizing my thoughts. So
100%.
And all it takes is like, I've had shows that felt really good. Like, I feel like we're on and I think I'm expressing myself well and it's funny and everything. But then it takes like one show where it's not really clicking. You're like, huh, maybe this is done. Maybe no more of this, I guess. What else can I do? Because this isn't working. But
we're fragile.
But anyway, sometimes we're coming back. Yeah, exactly. That's why I desire constant praise. Hey, audience, what do you think of me, especially? Anyway, thank you for being here, JR. Great to have you here. Great to have everyone here because in lieu of just reiterating everything that happened last night, the bad stuff, which sucks, and the good stuff, which is good. We talked about it in our pre-show. You know, some really bad people didn't win, so that's awesome. We decided we're going to have a little bit of fun. And it's not that we're not going to be talking about stuff that's serious and important. We will. But I just felt like, don't you just sometimes need to mock bad people? Can we just do that for a bit? And can we talk about things like animal news? Can we show a video of a good boy? Can we talk about Beyonce for some reason? I think that we can. I think that we can. And I think that we will. I think that we will.
I'm ready.
Anyway, with that said, we're about to launch into the news. In advance of that, how would you like to help us make sure that everyone gets notifications that we've gone live? You can hit the like button and share the stream. That's a great way to do that. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, and in fact, I will give you a prompt. How do you feel coming out of the primary day? How do you? I mean, I know some of the losses were hard, including candidates that we talked to. Give me your thoughts about the election. We'll respond to some as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready, too. I'm actually maybe even ready for the next step because Donkey Teeth says we're hiring at my company. John, I can teach you some machining. That sounds pretty fun, actually. I would love to work with my hands more.
I originally wanted to get into automotive production engineering and stuff like that. So, I mean, we can go back to our blue-collar roots.
Yeah. Bro. I would like to become a contractor. I want to, like, work with tools and stuff like that. I know it's apparently very difficult and very complicated, but I don't know, I feel like that would be fun. But you know what? We'll do one more show. How about that? As a going away thing, we'll do one more of these political talk, whatever it is that we do. Anyway, apologies to the TD. Now I'm ready. We can talk about the news. Donald Trump absolutely loves making a mockery of the people most loyal to him, the people who worship him most. Yesterday, we made fun of him, I think understandably so, for endorsing Eric. Just whatever Eric, any Eric, give me an Eric, your Eric on discount, whatever. And we thought it was hilarious that in a race with multiple Erics, he would just endorse all of them or whatever. No, he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't humiliated. He liked it because it humiliated them. Business Insider has a breakdown of, talking to sources near him, saying that he gloated after his vague endorsement left everyone named Eric scrambling to claim it, including his son. He thought it was, quote, a thing of beauty and too goddamn funny to endorse Eric in the Missouri primary. And then to watch both Eric Schmidt and Eric Greitens both claim that, no, it was totally about them. And in fact, it's weird that you don't get that. It's so clear. The choice is so clear for you, not for Trump. He didn't choose. He endorsed both of them. Anyway, in case you missed it, I'm going to just quickly give you, this is literally communication from the former most powerful person in the country saying there's a big election in the great state of Missouri, and we must send a MAGA champion, or I guess whatever. I am therefore proud to announce that Eric has my complete and total endorsement.
And that left them both to make campaign ads for it and put out tweets at the same time on the same platform, both claiming that he was endorsing them, and he was laughing at them. And it's actually even slightly weirder and more pathetic than that in a way that we'll get into in just a moment. But JR, like, this is the guy that they are debasing themselves for. He is delighting in sending them scrambling and making them look like jackasses.
The only thing that looks crazier than the things that we're seeing happen with the Republican Party, specifically under Trump and what Trump is making them do. And now he's got, like, you know, his puppet strings attached to both of these guys, and he's just laughing at them, is that people predicted a lot of these things that happened. They were seen as Trump derangement syndrome. And, oh, you guys are overblowing this whole thing when it comes to court rulings on gun issues and abortion and all this stuff. And specifically with Donald Trump having fun with the Republican Party as he dismantles it for his own self purposes, right? This is just another example of that. But still, we're looking at the results of this guy running the party, and he's having fun making the two of them fight like they're in an arena, and he's sitting there with his grapes, kicking back, waiting for someone to die. He goes, should I unleash the tigers yet? Because both of these fools will do anything for me. All I have to do is say the name and they'll fight. He's laughing at them like he's this Roman emperor who's letting the peasants rip each other apart.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's like that scene out of The Dark Knight where he, like, takes the stick and breaks it in half and says, we have one job opening. Like, but the thing is, I am sure that they know the humiliating, terrible position they've been put in, these candidates, and yet they're so weak. They're so unable to chart a different course. They're so incapable of getting through to the indoctrinated masses of Trump fans that they have to go along with it. As sad as it is, this is their bed and they're going to sleep in it or watch Trump sleep with their wife in it. I don't know. I don't know what they're into, but they like being humiliated. That much is clear. Now, all of this is, as people are identifying in the chat, Trump messing with them and making them look bad. It also, at the same time, let's be clear, it's like a ridiculous way to comport yourself as the leader of a political movement. I get that he doesn't care. He feels no ethical obligation to his voters, the politicians who support him, anything. So he can just do that. So it's a judgment without much sting for him. But let's also be clear, he comes out of this looking a little bad too. Take a look at this from Insider. Politico reported that Trump made the strange endorsement because he had run out of time after imposing a deadline on himself to decide between Greitens and Schmidt. We're going to return to that graphic in just a sec. This is like presenting it as, oh, for once, Trump was being responsible. He set a deadline and he was going to choose by then. He made this endorsement like a day ago. How much longer could he have waited? What kind of deadline is that? It was on the eve of the election, and he apparently, even setting himself a goal that's supposed to trigger the mind, motivation to do the work and the research and really think about it and choose because it matters. This is an important position in elected government. He failed. He didn't come up with one. The one piece of research he did, Politico sources said Trump went for the double endorsement plan after making sure the candidates' first names were identical. So he did check something. But what did he wiki them? He's like, I want to make sure that this dumbass plan makes sense by making sure their names are the same. But no, I want to return to how humiliating they are. A day before the election, he wasn't 100% sure what their first names were. He had to check it to make sure because he didn't know because they don't matter to him. JR, this is their party. I hope they enjoy it.
I hope so. if they didn't, they know who the guy was, but for some reason they still think they can battle over his favor. But he's literally playing games with them. Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, John. I always set a deadline. I'm last on Christmas shopping. I delay. Mm-hmm. I wait. You know, I always set a deadline for December 27th to make sure I get my Christmas shopping done. And then when 25th rolls up, I'm like, oh my God, it popped up on me. I guess I only have a few gifts left. Nobody plans for something after a very natural and predetermined deadline date for something. And as I think you exposed here, he wasn't some deadline. It makes it sound like he's responsible, but then it doesn't. There was no deadline. It was, how can I make sure I save face here? Because whoever I choose, if I choose the wrong one, they're going to come get me. Fox News has already seems to be pulling back from me a little bit. The New York Times and the effing Washington Post keep saying that Republicans hate me. I can't look bad at all. I need to keep pushing the same thing that I won every election and that every Republican still loves me. So he has to now endorse everyone. I endorse everybody in the primary. So then therefore, when they win, it's still because of me. That's what this is about.
Exactly. Shade Dragon says on YouTube, this is like dudes who only date women named Jessica, so he always yells the right name. Yeah, it's covering your bases, I suppose. So I think your read is right. I think the Trump fans will totally buy into his strategy, which is, hey, he won last night. One of the Erics he endorsed won. Isn't he great? Isn't he bold? Isn't he beautiful? No. No, that's not what happened at all, because he also endorsed the guy who lost. And think about specifically the sort of the flavor of cowardice that we have today. The guy who won, Schmidt, sucks. We'll be dealing with him going forward. But Eric Greitens is an alleged domestic abuser, sexual predator, sexual abuser, blackmailer. Trump wanted him as much as he wanted the other Eric, we have to believe. He wasn't brave enough to actually endorse him, but he also wasn't brave enough to stand against this guy, a guy who had all of that baggage. Trump was not brave enough to say no, because he was worried. He was scared deep down inside. He was scared that that guy would win. And if he turned against him, then he'd look even worse. He couldn't draw a line when it came to all of those insane allegations. And think about the stakes for him, how easy it in theory could have been to just go for Schmidt. You might say, well, he has to be careful because they're two different people. They have two different platforms. They'll support or reject him on different policies if he becomes president again. No, they're Republicans. They have no policies. They have no platform. They will do, either of them, whatever he says. And yet, oh, he just wasn't willing to actually go for or against either of them. And Greitens, too, they're both so pathetic. He was the governor of a GD state in America. And back when he was governor, could he have possibly imagined that this real estate, you know, reality TV bozo was going to endorse him and his opponent? He was the executive of an entire state. And he has to debase himself to this dude.
He was a Navy SEAL. His buddy talked about how it's crazy what power will do to you. It'll take you right out of the running for power, ironically, if that's all you're obsessed with because you don't think about anything else. Did you guys also do the story about the friend of his, Eric Greitens' friend, who said we were both in service together? And after he came out, he was trying to determine if he's going to be a Democrat or Republican. It was all just trying to gain some more power. He has no effing principles whatsoever.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, he's got something. The dude clearly is a hardcore rabid misogynist based on his personal life. We understand that. So I would say that, you know, while people like that can certainly be found in both parties, I think it has a slightly more natural home on the right. So I think he chose right in that respect. But like a lot of these politicians, he, you know, like he didn't come into this with, you know, like a really set concrete value system and ideas of the future of America and the policies needed to get us past certain crises. No, there's none of that. It's all just invented. It's whatever it has to be. It's the nature of grift. You want an audience. You want the money. You want the fame and the support. So you just look out there and say, what do people want to be told? Okay, that's what I believe. I guess that's the thing that is super important to me now. And that's who he was. Now, thankfully, he lost. Again, it ain't like we got a good person instead. But he seemed worse, so maybe this is progress. I don't know. I want to remind you just quickly, though, in terms of Trump humiliating the people who support him. Remember Mo Brooks unsuccessfully appealing to Trump to re-endorse him after he took away his endorsement. Trump said that Mo Brooks went woke over the 2020 election, which is both utterly meaningless. It doesn't mean literally anything. Mo Brooks is like a rabid conservative, and going woke over the 2020 election, all he said was, can we focus on this midterm election? He didn't say Biden won or anything like that. So it's utterly nonsensical. And also the most devastating thing you can say about a Republican. He declared Mo Brooks, of all people, to be woke after Mo Brooks was nothing but loyal to him year after year. And then, of course, I'm just going to show a picture, and I think you can fill in all the context. Take a look at this of Nancy Mace outside Trump Tower. Like, we appeal more often to the conservative viewer, the regular conservative, and we try to get them against their will to have some goddamn self-respect. But I also want to extend this challenge to the Republican politicians. Like, I don't like, man up, woman up, grow a backbone, whatever metaphor you want to use. This is no way to live. Okay. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
Ironically, it's one of those things where, you know, you take the easier route, and it doesn't seem like it would be, because there's a lot of campaigning and ass kissing and constant kneeling for Donald Trump and all this. It seems like it's a lot of work to do this, and it's just easier to maybe be honest and maybe do something that's helpful or something that fulfills you. Oddly, all this, I would be surprised if this fulfills people. But again, I mean, even Nancy Mace, she has like 2.5 decent thoughts and actual beliefs and principles behind her, but she has to suppress it sometimes in order to then be a star within the Republican Party, like show up in front of Trump's hotel and beg him. Jesus, man, it's so much easier just to be yourself, and then maybe people will like you. And if they don't, hey, move on to something else. Become an accountant. I always say accountant whenever it's a regular job.
A dignified job. I don't know. There's a lot of great jobs I occasionally think about. Yeah, no, you're right. She is right on one or two things, but she also mocked AOC for being terrified of being raped on January 6th. So she deserves literally everything that comes to her, and a lot of things that haven't.
It's amazing.
Exactly. No, the fact that she has been humiliated in this way, I'll take it. Anyway, with that said, we're going to go to our first break. We come back. We got some more bad candidates. We got like the anti-abortion people cannot help themselves when they talk about it. Like, if you've ever wondered, why is it that so few people agree with them? We're going to describe in real time why after this.
You may have thought you heard everything that Darren Bailey had to say about abortion.
If somebody were raped or there was a pattern of incest in the family, would you allow that woman to have an abortion?
Right now, my answer is no.
But that's not all Darren Bailey has said.
The attempted extermination of the Jews of World War II, it doesn't even compare on a shadow of the life that has been lost and with abortion.
Look, if you're listening to a Republican politician speak in anything other than the most public setting, just wait. Wait 5 seconds, wait 30 seconds, and the anti-Semitism is just waiting to be released. They can't help it. It's how they feel, and they want to say it. They're proud of these disgusting views, obviously, about abortion, about reproductive rights, but also needlessly making it about the Holocaust. Like, in the style of the internet, absolutely nobody was asking him about the Holocaust, but he had to make it about that. He had to use millions of people being killed as a, hey, that ain't nothing. Get a load of abortion. Now, he would have you believe that if you were offended by that, the problem is really with you, okay? Now, he put out a statement implying that he didn't mean what he seemed to mean. The Holocaust is a human tragedy without parallel, he says. Except, of course, the parallel he made in the video we just showed you. But he goes on to say, in no way was I attempting to diminish the atrocities of the Holocaust and its stain on history, except again, in the very specific way he just did. I meant to emphasize the tragedy of millions of babies being lost, I support and have met with many people in the Jewish community in Illinois and look forward to continuing to work with them to make Illinois a safer and more affordable place for everyone. Well, here's the thing. That thing that he just said about, I've met with many people in the community I just offended, is often thrown out there as a, hey, don't worry. I'm not a bad guy. Look at me. I've spent time with this group. As if that's all the work that you need to do. Here's the problem with that theory. You having met and worked with many Jewish people in community didn't stop you from comparing the Holocaust to abortion in a way that makes light of the Holocaust. Apparently, you needed to meet with a couple more people in Illinois. You needed to work with them for a little bit longer because it didn't accomplish the goal that you would have us believe it was going to. JR, what do you make of this guy? He's, by the way, he's the Republican nominee for governor in Illinois. This ain't just state senator, whatever.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And I wonder how many people actually know who he is. Again, it's just one particular state, but a governor of that state. Now, the reason why guys like to say things like bring up or have these comparisons to the Holocaust is because they know that they're losing this argument. They're losing this conversation. They know that they're the least popular folks in the country for these stances, these principles that they have that they don't actually really believe in. Because, you know, when push comes to shove or when it becomes to something that they need or something that they would like to advocate for or that maybe makes their lives better or maybe their mistress on the side or their wife who's got a pregnancy that is going to kill her or the baby isn't really going to survive. It's weird because then they'll be down for all these types of things. But in order to legislate, in order to get into office as a Republican, you have to compare it to these drastic things because no one will listen to you under normal circumstances because you're not making any sense whatsoever. Now, by the way, there's one other part about this because he talked about how he's pushing back on the criticism for him making that comparison because he's been around Jewish folks and he's worked with Jewish folks. He's had meetings with them. How many meetings have you had with women who experience things that would be necessary for them to get abortions? How many mothers potentially have you experienced that have had miscarriages that then had to get their reproductive rights enacted so that they can do something about it afterwards? How much do you know? How many doctors, how many OBGYNs have you spoken to? How many doctors that actually take care of these procedures have you spoken with to ask how this works and why many women do it? Or how about you just Google search it? Because I haven't talked to any of these people either, but I looked it up and you can find out that it's not 16, 18 year old loose girls that just won't close their legs and they don't know what their responsibilities are, because that's this perception that they're pushing on folks. So if you're going to talk about how you've been talking to Jewish folks and now that's why you're all cool with them, how about you talk to the people that you're affecting by trying to take away their rights and then comparing it to the Holocaust? He won't do that though, because then he'll have to actually err on the side of normalcy in reality.
Yeah, no, he's not a fan of that. We're going to return in just a second to him being awful, but let's make clear, we need to add some context. He's not the only person in this who is awful. Now, he won, the primary fight. There was a more moderate Republican running against him. Do you know who the Dems, for some reason, ran ads to support? That guy, Darren Bailey. They tried to get him to be the nominee, the guy who has some interesting thoughts about the Holocaust. The guy who, by the way, told people 2 hours after the Highland Park shooting to move on. Come on, it's been 120 odd minutes, people. Can we get on with our lives? That guy could be the governor of Illinois. Democrats helped get him in that position. Now, they would say that they're playing 13 dimensional chess. And you dum-dums don't understand that this guy is gonna be so much easier to beat. That's why we put millions of dollars into getting him to be the nominee. And maybe they're right, maybe I am a dum-dum, but it seems like a dangerous gamble when you pretend to be opposed to these people and you spend your hard-earned money, money that could be going to support actual Democratic candidates, progressives trying to make the Democratic Party more representative in a number of different ways. They don't often have the money for that, but they do have the money to support people like him and others. There was that guy Gibbs who won last night. They're supporting him too. This is going to be a fun little gamble come November, because they would say, we need this as a boost to beat these extremists. Okay, take a look at the way that they've governed, how little they've done to change the conditions on the ground for the campaign. Do you think that they're gonna take it seriously in the next few months? Maybe. That's another fun gamble, but maybe not. Maybe they will accomplish literally nothing, and maybe they will give Darren Bailey the best chance possible of getting elected. That's my fear.
Back to more, we talk about how, you know, Republicans don't have much of policy or principles or agenda to sell to American people outside of these random culture wars that they've been pushing over and over and over and over again. But also to highlight how much Democrats also don't want to talk about what they would do for the American people. They'll mention it every once in a while and say, yeah, yeah, we'll do that. But what you guys really need to know is look how crazy our opponents are. They're already showing us, bro. They've got airtime. Yeah. They've got Fox News, used to have OAN, Newsmax and Parler and Truth Social. They got all those to spew their ridiculousness. Just you can highlight it, but to promote them and waste that money on that rather than talking about what you're going to do for the American people or the people who may vote for you, have at it. How'd that work out when Hillary Clinton was running up against Donald Trump and we wanted to make sure we talked about the things that Donald Trump said and did?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
That was a fun gamble. Oh, wait, we went bust. So fun. Just move on, everyone. Move on. So we made the Holocaust thing. Just move on. That's how you seriously address people's concerns about the terrible things you say. I don't understand these people. And yet they become the nominee. Me and JR, all we've literally done with our life is like, I don't know, try to nudge the country in a slightly better direction. We would have no chance. That guy is a swamp monster. In the metaphoric and literal sense. And he's the nominee. He's gonna raise millions and millions of dollars. Good news, bad news on the topic of abortion. As I'm sure you know at this point, the effort to strip protections for abortion rights in Kansas, that amendment was soundly defeated in Kansas in some of the best news that we've had in the primary in some time. It went down 58.8% to 41.2%. It was not close. It seems, according to the polls, that it might be, but no, people were very clear. Although in defense of the people, they've been clear about this for longer than I've literally been alive. And that's never stopped the Republicans from endlessly trying to strip away people's rights. It not only lost overall, it lost in every single county. Take a look at this. In one, it went down 81-19. No, it was just defeated and defeated and defeated and defeated. But this is just one state and this is just one effort. They're going to regroup and they're going to come for those rights again. They're going to do it in Kansas. They're going to do it in other states. In fact, some defenses even now being lodged against efforts in other states to do this. You have the Justice Department filing its first lawsuit since Roe v. Wade was taken out. There's a new Idaho law that would impose a near total ban on the procedure. They say it violates a federal requirement to provide medical care when a pregnant person's life or health is at stake. We covered that a few weeks ago. No, they want to outlaw in all cases. Mayor Garland said that their lawsuit is aimed at stopping the trigger ban. It is set to take effect in just a couple of weeks. So again, fingers crossed that the judge stands on the side of the people or the Constitution in this case. But anyway, it's a reminder that we can celebrate these things. We should celebrate these things. But they're going to keep pushing. They're going to do it in Idaho. They're going to do it. Look, let's jump ahead to this last graphic. In Georgia, I guess to prove a point, I don't know, they're allowing residents to claim embryos as dependents on state taxes. You know how people in response to anti-abortion arguments will often say, well, why don't you do X? Why don't you treat it as X if you believe it's a life? I guess they think this is a witty retort to that, I suppose, in this case, JR. But the anti-abortion effort continues. That's all over the country. Oh, you're muted, JR. And nobody puts JR in a corner.
That's outrageous. Somebody did that to me. I didn't touch that one. As they push these types of things consistently, and then they see what the response is from voters, specifically as we see there in Kansas. I guess they're going all in. This was the indications that maybe some people were looking for. And when I mentioned it, you know, just over an hour ago on my show, I asked Jessica, I said, so is this really that indication for midterms that maybe some people are saying? And I'm not sure about it yet, because of course, this is just specifically in Kansas, which they put forward in this way. They made sure it was on this ballot because they figured they have a better chance because there's more Republican primary voters. We're going to totally steamroll it. And they totally got steamrolled. Are they learning? Are they trying to flail and go for these other directions to try and convince people otherwise? Or are they just in trouble? Because I wasn't fully convinced. I got to be honest. I wasn't fully convinced when the court overturned Roe versus Wade. And they said, this is going to change everything in the midterms. I was like, if Democrats actually speak out and do something about it, it will. And that's what we're maybe looking for. Hopefully this continues to change, but we can't just sit back and say, the American people know now. They know now. Now we can just sit back and watch, because the Democrats do like to do that. Let's make sure that it's actually a change. And I'm curious whether or not you actually think that's something that will be. I mean, are people going to forget this in a few months? I mean, we still got, what, 3 months, 4 months left?
I mean, look, in theory, they could. And I think some on the right are trying to make that happen, tamping down people's, you know, fears, like saying, no, like, we're totally just going to leave it up to states. We're not like pushing for a federal or anything, even though they're lying. But at the same time, like, they can't stop the state parties from doing this sort of thing. Like, that's a reminder in Idaho. They give you the reminder in Kansas. They're like going out of their way to remind people of these terrible things that they're doing. And then, of course, you're gonna have things like, you know, I believe it was a 12-year-old girl who desperately needed an abortion. Those sorts of, the woman in Texas as well, who was forced to carry a deceased fetus for a couple of weeks because the doctors were terrified of what would happen to them legally. Like, these sorts of things are gonna keep coming up. You can't help it. When you set up an inherently intentionally cruel system, it will generate cruel outcomes. And it's on the job of the media to make sure that people know about it. And we're going to continue to do that. Now, that said, we're going to jump ahead to our D block, trying to make sure we can fit in everything. This one is a fun one, though. So let's jump into that. Truth Social was, of course, set up as an alternative to Twitter, where free speech would not just be some sort of vague aspiration. No, that would be the whole point. They're not going to be banning people, shadow banning people, or anything like that. And at this point in the intro, where do you think I'm going with this? Where do you think they're doing those things? And specifically shadow banning people, the stuff that enrages the right the most. Don Jr. loves talking about being shadow banned. Dave Rubin, every day it's, I've been shadow banned. No, they're shadow banning people. A Public Citizen, great organization, has been looking into this. They heard complaints from people that they were unable to post about topics, including, for instance, the January 6th House Select Committee, or about the fight for abortion access. They found that content was not allowed. So they say, our own research on the platform confirms that the site engages in shadow banning, which is fully or partially blocking users' content without warning, notice, or recourse. This is prevalent with regard to both progressive subject matter and across various other topics. So yes, this is politically biased censorship, which they've implied they would never do. It's generally about progressive stuff, but there's some weird exceptions that we need to dive into. First of all, though, any post containing the phrase abortion is healthcare automatically shadow banned. I don't like, you can go to the backyard with your free speech concerns. If it's about abortion as healthcare, nope, you don't get to talk about it. Screw you. You have the wrong opinions. Your opinions are by definition politically incorrect, I guess, and they will not be allowed. They will cancel you as part of the culture they're setting up. Anyway, it's not just that. Let's see. One woman at Public Citizen talks about trying to get that stuff to be posted. She would even get a notification saying it that her truth had been posted, but it hadn't. You couldn't actually see it when you searched for it. You've got posts like this that talk about birth control regulation and that sort of thing. No, those were shadow banned as well. You have a lot of banning going on around the January 6th committee hearing. So for instance, if you share a video of Ivanka Trump doubting your father's claims that the election was stolen, that's it. Your free speech rights or whatever, they're gone. But it isn't just that. Take a look at this. This is a post about like Ukraine and Zelensky. And isn't that like a conservative music guy? This is, this isn't even lib or progressive stuff. This ain't lefty stuff. I don't even know why that was banned, but it was banned. It was taken down because that's what they do. Because all their claims about free speech and censorship and cancel culture and political correctness, it was a massive lie. And you should have known it all along. If you're a conservative, you should have known that they were lying to you. But this is how they want to run it. They've created a safe space for conservatives, except Blake something. Isn't that his name? Blake something. It's not a safe space for him. Blake Shelton, sexiest man in America, I remember. Oh, anyway, he was 1 year. Okay, but anyway, no, they're doing the censorship, they're doing the shadow banning. It was inevitable.
First off, let's start with the most important thing here, John. Let's keep it real. You're still working your way to it. Yes, they did call you what they call you earlier. One of the members, they called you beautiful, sexy, a bae. They called you a bae earlier. So I guess Blake Shelton got sexiest man alive a few years ago. You still got time, John. You still got time. We'll make it there. First off, let's start that war. People Magazine, Sexiest Man of the Year, John Adarola. Mm-hmm. Anyways, on to this, because joining Truth Social apparently doesn't get you to the truth. Now, a lot of people complain about these things you went over, January 6th, the abortion conversation and debate that, again, I thought they were celebrating that they won on that. But January 6th, many people were frustrated. When are we going to hear the other side? When are they going to let us give our side of it? How come we can't talk about our side? Hey, people are trying to discuss it on your truth site. Why don't you give us the truth? No, let's just ban it. Sounds like you don't want to have that discussion or that debate, which is exactly what would happen if they allowed any of these disgruntled folks to intrude on the truth that's being told there. Also, the abortion debate. Hey, I thought America was on your side. I thought so many Christian loving Americans that don't want any separation between your belief systems and our government's policies, I thought they'd all be in support of you. You should be shouting from the rooftops how you're in support of limiting people's rights, and they should be happy about it, right? Why are we limiting that kind of conversation? Again, because they know they're on the wrong side of all of these issues when it comes to the majority of Americans in this odd democracy thing that we say we follow in this country, except when you're not popular, except when your beliefs don't mean anything to anyone else except for oppressive agendas, then you have to start flipping it and silencing people. Yep. It's weird how the irony is just looking at them in the face, but they still can't see it.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's the most inevitable news ever. We're gonna end with this. Let's jump ahead to graphic 9, True Social. America's big tent social media platform that encourages an open, free, and honest global conversation, but without globalists, we don't like them, without discriminating on the basis of political ideology, except in all of the cases where we do. And let's keep it real, that's what most of our fan base wants us to do.
Have you tried to join Truth yet?
I don't
want to. I'm a little worried about information being stolen though, because they don't do things very well.
100%. No, I have no interest in that. No rational person would. In any event, we're gonna go to our second break. When we come back, you might have heard, we talked about in the show yesterday, the leader of Al-Qaeda was killed. That would seem to be a good thing from the conservative point of view. But Marjorie Greene has some, I almost said thoughts. Anyway, she said some stuff about it, and we'll discuss after this. Bearded Bastard says, I never want people saying my last name. It's so simple but easy to F up. Try me. I've got a last name that's been messed up more than a few times. Let me just say that. Anyway, oh geez. Okay, let's launch into it. Some people want to be warned before we talk about, let alone show, Marjorie Greene. So consider yourself warned. We're going to talk about her now. It was announced this week that Ayman al-Zawahiri, the leader of Al-Qaeda, had been killed in a drone strike, which is the sort of thing that people like Marjorie Greene are supposed to want. I mean, he's an enemy of America. He has presided over missions that have killed literally thousands of American service members and civilians, as well as many people of other countries as well. Also, he's Muslim, so you know she's into that part of it at least. And yet, she's got some misgivings about this whole thing, and she wants you to pump the brakes on being happy, or at the very least, congratulating Biden on what was done. So here is what she had to say. I would almost say it's a stream of consciousness thing, but that implies consciousness. It's a thread. Let's read it. She says, November is coming and proxy war with Russia, killing more people and grinding Ukraine to a stump, which I guess is an expression, is not as popular with voters as the admin thought it would be. The White House admin looks extremely weak and controlled by Zelensky and the global world order, but don't be fooled. Yes, of course, as always, they're being controlled by someone abroad. I guess now it's Zelensky or whatever. But also, if you're not convinced by that, or if you're one of the Republicans that doesn't have a negative view of Zelensky, she throws in the global world order. You can read that as Jewish people. That's what she means. It's global Jewish people. It's insane, but there it is. She goes on to say they are not done with weapon sales and money laundering in the form of humanitarian aid in Ukraine. They like war with Russia, expanding military bases in Europe, plan to fully rebuild Ukraine and make Americans pay for it. These are not new tricks to maintain power and money. But Ukraine is causing problems for weak Dems, upcoming re-elections, and the complaints are loud. So first of all, what is the evidence that Ukraine, whether you agree or disagree with Ukraine policy, that is driving difficulties for candidates? That is a claim that seems to require some evidence. And in fact, the polls have been turning against the Republicans recently. So I don't know, maybe check your math. That implies that she hasn't. So here's where it gets into the Zawahiri thing. They even pivoted back to killing an old Al-Qaeda terrorist so Biden could murmur his tough guy talk, claiming he led the killing of Zawahiri. Great thanks and congratulations to those who killed Zawahiri. But after Biden humiliated our military, tucking tail, pulling out of Afghanistan, got 13 of our young soldiers killed, abandoned Americans and armed the Taliban, Biden should be impeached, not taking credit. So we're gonna pause there for a moment. So you should not give him any credit because the guy was old, okay? You should question the timing of it. Maybe they just took out one of the greatest individual enemies of America because the election is coming up. And that's a bad thing because Biden is a Democrat. If Trump had killed a terrorist in the months leading up to an election, I'm sure she would be just as hesitant to applaud him for that. Anyway, just like the murmur, the tough guy talk, all of this, it is. They saw an opportunity to kill Zawahiri. Now we can talk about, you know, the morality or the ethics or the politics of conducting strikes like this inside of the bounds of other countries, of using drone strikes. Even if in this case no civilians were killed, we know that generally these sorts of strikes do kill civilians. There are plenty of things that you could criticize here, but she wants you to imagine that all of this is some sort of like politically motivated thing that has no merit on its own, even though she would totally give tons of credit to Trump if he had done it. And you should question it because something Ukraine and Zelensky global world order. Like, it's a piece of news, dude. Just absorb it. I know that you don't like it. You want the wins to only come for the right or whatever. But trying to spin these complicated conspiracy theories about literally every development, no matter how unambiguous, don't you get tired of it at some point? You can just accept like, hey, good that he did that. I still disagree with him on Afghanistan, but it's probably better that a guy that has killed thousands of people due to his planning isn't still around. I think it really could just be as simple as that, JR. What do you think?
The number one objective for Republicans, especially again, campaigning and election midterm year, is to make sure that credit. After those five tweets that she threw out there talking about this, the only one thing that matters is in, I think, the fourth one when she says Biden should be impeached, not taking credit. The one big all capitalized word is not. For taking credit, because that's what they care about. That's the only thing they care about. America first, or your party first, or maybe you're trying to win an election first. And also, they've already lost that battle with John Stewart and these veterans that were trying to get some kind of healthcare with these burn pits legislation. And they lost that one too. And they're losing their grip on people still believing they actually give a damn about veterans in the country or anyone else that they have this claim over, these personas and characterizations that we allow the Republican Party to continue to promote themselves as. They actually despise the boys in blue unless they can use them. They despise the military until they can use them. In this particular case, they can't use them because, again, the current administration is a Democratic one. So you can, she still tried to separate that, if you notice again in those same tweets. She's still pointing out, now good job to the military leaders who did it, but Biden, they continue trying to separate it because there'll be enough people that say, you're unhappy about this? And if she tries to, she will try at least push back to say, no, I congratulated our military. I just said the guy who's in charge as the military did it has nothing to do with it. And in fact, is a bad guy. It doesn't have to make any sense as long as you've weaponized your people to hate the other side, no matter what they see. America
to filter everything through that. No, you're totally right. We have at least one or two other examples of that. If we could go back to that, the last tweet. So she says, this is after Biden humiliated our military, tucking tail, pulling out of Afghanistan. So I'm gonna reiterate what I said yesterday when talking about Tucker Carlson. There are people in America who are anti-war. Basically, none of them are on the right. And I don't care. I really do not care if they imply that they are, if they imply that they're anti-intervention. It's always hypothetical. Whenever you get to the specifics, suddenly it evaporates. So we shouldn't have been there, But how dare you pull us out? She doesn't want us in Ukraine, but she doesn't want us to leave Afghanistan. That pointless war that was resulting in so many, from her words, American young soldiers being killed. If it were up to her, we'd still be there. Because although on some hypothetical level that never comes true, she's against war, you never ever pull out of one because something, something humiliation. An abstract quality like a country being humiliated means, well, I guess we gotta keep spending hundreds of billions of dollars and getting people killed. And she pretends to care about 13 soldiers being killed. Like they were killed by terrorists, but you just got done saying you don't care if we kill terrorists in retaliation. And also, by the way, if those 13 soldiers had been killed by rampaging January 6th insurrectionists, how quick would she be to pretend that it doesn't matter? Anyway, there's more nonsense really, really fast because we got to move on. If we go to this last graphic, if we were in Afghanistan for so many years, why is it we just found out where he is and finally killed him? Because he just came to Afghanistan this year, you idiot, you massive moron. He wasn't there. Thus, we couldn't know that he was there when he wasn't there. It's like the first fact that all of the articles cite when talking about Zawahiri. He came there after, and then we got him. And I'll remind you, we got him. Anyway, we gotta move on. There's more that could be said. We're gonna move on. You might have heard about this insane story that an apartment on Airbnb was being advertised as a slave cabin. Well, now we've got an update. Airbnb finally, after like 72 hours of pressure, is finally speaking out on this, saying properties that formerly housed the enslaved have no place on Airbnb. Don't put yourself in a position where you need to say a sentence like that. We apologize for any trauma or grief created by the presence of this listing and others like it, and that we did not act sooner to address this issue or even respond to it. They said that removing other listings that include former slave quarters in the US and developing new policies. Apparently, they just didn't have a policy that had to do with advertising slave quarters. Anyway, in case you missed the initial story, we want to show you a video describing why they now need to come out and say this.
This is not okay in the least bit. And I know there's going to be somebody that says, oh, you're looking for controversy where it doesn't exist. No, this is an 1830s slave cabin that is up on Airbnb as a bed and breakfast. How do I know that this is slave quarters other than just using my eyes and looking at it? Well, they say it in the listing. This particular structure, the Panther Burn Cabin, is an 1830s slave cabin from the Panther Burn Plantation. How is this okay in somebody's mind to rent this out, a place where human beings were kept as slaves? Rent this out as a bed and breakfast. Here it is. That's it right there. The slave quarters next to the big house.
So I don't know why, as a country, we've put ourselves in a position where you would want to advertise something in that way. But credit to the TikToker for pointing that out, and finally for Airbnb responding. JR, what do you make of this?
Yeah, real fast. Airbnb, I mean, they were surprised. I mean, they didn't have a plan for this because they wouldn't have imagined. Maybe they didn't know the degree to which Americans actually don't give a good hot damn about the deplorable, horrific history. We'll just go ahead and cut it off there, that we went through in this country and with our enslaved folks and how it was built up from that, because we don't like teaching that stuff in school. So there's no way they would assume that people would put capitalism over any kind of decency, especially since we're trying to mute it. I went to a slave, I went to a plantation a few years ago, and there's this happy, this tour had a happy go lucky tour guide. And this is where the young slaves sat. Oh my God. And look, if you look on the wall, there's a bill of sale, and it's supposed to make this exciting. That's the way we perceive conducted slavery in this country. So of course people would try and put out an Airbnb, because who cares?
Yeah, like teaching the reality of it, teaching the horror of it, I think that could be valuable, especially when so many Republicans are trying to stop you from ever even hearing that it existed as they try to rewrite history. But trying to make it a fun thing, it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not fun to stay in the quarters and imagine, oh, I'm in slave quarters. Isn't that fun? And I can leave tomorrow. You know, I'm just here for a day and then I can leave. It's not
so cozy.
Fun.
So cozy. Yeah. They still do weddings and concerts on plantations, whatever. Yeah.
I know. Sure. I know. Airbnb, do better. Do literally the minimum. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have in our first hour. If you're on the podcast of the Linear Platforms, thank you so much for watching. But if you're on our other platforms, Jared and I have a lot more to get to. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.